Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Concerns now about the availability of nitrous oxide, commonly known as laughing gas, to buy online, and the increase in its recreational use as a psychedelic drug among young people has reignited calls to clamp down on how it's regulated. Well, I'm joined by Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Midwest, Mark Ward, and also Nikki Killeen, who's HSE Emerging Drug Trends Project Manager. And Nikki, I'll start with you because we'd like to just find out a little bit more about this. Laughing gas, as I said, is how it's commonly known. What can you tell us about nitrous oxide?
Yeah, so it is a gas. It is typically consumed from a canister, which range from being small silver whippets to larger canisters. And essentially, the effects will give someone a very quick rush or euphoric effect. It makes people want to laugh, where it got its term laughing gas. I suppose with different volumes of it being used in higher doses, it can then have different effects. So it could have dissociative effects where people feel outer body experiences, disconnected, or a distortion of time. It does have medical uses. So when mixed with gas, 50% air and 50% nitrous oxide, it is used in medical settings such as dentistry or childbirth. So it is recognized by the World Health Organization as an essential medicine. And I suppose in the context we're speaking of today, it is when it's used by young people in, say, nightlife or social settings.
And it's used, you describe the medical uses, also in some food production or like in the cream, the pressurized cream canister.
Yes, it comes from the catering industry as well.
Okay. So how is it taken then if people are using it as a recreational drug?
So it is essentially a very cold gas. It is pressurized. So in the canisters itself, it needs to be released and warmed. It's extra risky if someone uses it straight from the canister. So we do see people experiencing a frostbite from it touching their face, or it can have, I suppose, effects on the tonsils or the lungs from it being pressurized and cold. So essentially what it needs to be done, it needs to be filled into an object, and people typically use balloons, which is where the term balloons come from as well.
So what are you concerned about then when it comes to the increasing use of this and the fact that it seems you can buy it fairly easily online?
So we've been monitoring use for some time. I mean, it is not a new trend. It has been in Europe used in recreational settings, and we would have become first aware around 2019 when we did a survey with Trinity College on festival use, and we noticed that 28% of people had used from 1,100 people, and this increased when they used abroad because it was legally available in other contexts in nightlife. I suppose the change in the market now has seen more younger populations using, and I suppose substance use with adolescents and early teens is concerning, regardless of what substance it is, whether it's alcohol or cannabis or nitrous oxide, because it has an impact on the developing brain, their social skills, and how they, I suppose, develop their coping mechanisms. With young people, what we're seeing is frostbite or some other issues presenting. And then with older populations, what we're seeing is long-term and heavy use can lead to vitamin B12 deficiency and neuropathic conditions and impact on the spine. So this is something that we're monitoring. But I suppose in terms of our main concern, it is younger populations and their use in substances in general and the prevention of substances for them.
Nikki, is it addictive?
There's emerging research that debates if it is or isn't. This is something that's still being researched. I suppose if someone is using something to socialise or in settings, anything can be used as part of a pattern. But I suppose the research there is limited in terms of addiction potential. It might be used alongside other substances or used by people who already have a vulnerability to dependency.
Mm-hmm. But from what you've described there, it's a really short-lived high, is it?
It's short-lived, and I suppose the risks then increase in how it's used. So it essentially reduces oxygen going into the lungs. So if a person isn't taking a breath following use, that can be concerning, can lead to hypoxia. So I suppose what we are concerned about is how it's been used, if it's been used in high doses and if it's been used frequently. So if it's been used, a number of times by young people and in a more frequent basis, this is going to increase the harms for them.
Okay, some people listening to this will have seen a lot of discarded canisters or may have seen them regularly around the place on streets and so on. Is that what we're seeing? A nitrous oxide can we assume that's what it has been used for?
Yes, so originally we probably would have seen silver whippets in communities, and this caused quite concern for parents at the time. And we did respond and create a fact sheet for parents and tried to create webinars and support for them to give them factual based information on how to manage and speak to young people about it. So I suppose the litter can be quite concerning when people see it. We don't generally see drug related litter in some communities, so that is a cause for concern, and it is also an environmental concern in some areas. But typically, yes, this might be what it is used for. And I suppose what we do encourage is for parents who are concerned in their community, or if they do see these visible canisters, is to look at the HSE's information that we have for parents on nitrous oxide, and also look at our booklet on how to start a conversation about substance use to remain calm to plan having that conversation when you have the facts.
Nikki, thank you so much. Nikki Killeen there, and joined by Mark Ward as well, Sinn Féin TD, who's been campaigning and flagging this issue. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. I know the journal.ie did some work on this. It's fairly easy, it would seem, from what they did, to buy this online.
It's very, very easy. As you mentioned, you only have to walk through any house in the state or any park in Dublin and beyond, and you will see the discarded nitrous oxide canisters just littered all over the place. So that shows there is a proliferation of the amount of nitrous oxide that is entering into Ireland and getting into the hands of young people. Young people are buying them online, but they're also buying them off on scrupulous dealers on the street as well.
So, as Nikki explained there, it's used in medicine and it's also used in catering. So it's not illegal to buy this stuff.
No, it's not. So that's why the bill that I've introduced at first stage, now it took me about nearly a year and a half working on this bill to get it to the stage that it's at now, because it's quite complicated, because it has got legitimate purposes to use it. So what we're trying to do is that wholesalers will require a license to sell nitrous oxide products, and retailers who wish to sell nitrous oxide products will need to be registered on an approved retail sellers list. So it's similar to what was introduced in Holland. And when I was doing the research, if you see Holland bringing in legislation to regulate the use of some sort of drug, you know there's a problem, because they have quite liberal laws over there.
And how did it come onto your radar?
It came onto my radar as because I'm active in the community, walking around my area, and I would have seen the discarded nitrous oxide canisters. I'm also, my background, I would have worked in addiction centres right across Dublin. So I linked in with my local addiction centre, who had said they had seen an increase in the amount of young people who were presenting, or their outreach workers would have seen an increase in the amount of young people who were using nitrous oxide. So for example, a recent report by the HSE, by the Adolescent Addiction Service, showed that there was 175% increase in 1 year in the amount of young people who were using their service that were using nitrous oxide.
Yeah, because Nikki was saying the jury is out. There hasn't really been enough research done on how addictive it is. What's your own anecdotal evidence on that?
So there is addiction, but there's also problematic use. So if a young person, so when I said there's 175% increase in the young people accessing the adolescent addiction services, these are the young people who have realised themselves that
they
have
a problem with it.
Or maybe their parents or their teacher maybe have realised that there is a problem with the use of it. So, but that's only the tip of the iceberg. I suspect that there's a big cohort of young people who aren't coming to the attention of the HSE addiction services or their schools, or maybe it's going under the radar with their parents as well. Mm-hmm.
And that, the way you use it, putting it into a balloon to inhale it, is that how it's being done?
That's how it's been done in some instances, because you'll often see the nitrous oxide canisters, the small ones, with balloons beside them. That's where the term balloons came from. But it's also evolved then to taking it directly from the larger canisters, which, as your previous speaker has said, has led to instances of people presenting to hospital with third-degree frostbite burns, because it's cold and it's compressed and it's going straight into the person's mouth, or if they're holding between their legs, they're getting the legs frostbite on the legs there as well.
So, I mean, I'm sure you've had cross-party conversations about this, about regulating it. What sort of vibes are you getting? Do you think you're going to get cross-party support on it?
But to me, this is non-political. This is one of these things where we should get cross-party support. I've spoken to a number of people in my party and outside my party, and when I introduced it at first stage, they were basically congratulating you on introducing it, because they see that it's something that's necessary for our communities. So I'd like to see that this is one of these things that we can all put the shoulder to the wheel together and push at the same time, and to get this legislation passed.
So what's the timeline then? You got it through the first stage a number of weeks ago, did you?
Yeah, so it passed about first stage about 6 weeks now at this stage. It's in with the county court and now looking for an opportunity to get introduced at second stage. And then after that, then it'll go into committee then. And hopefully with government support, that this can progress quicker than a lot normal opposition bills do.
Right. And the food catering industry, have they been on to you at all? Because it'll affect them if they have to go through a regulatory process in order to get this.
So this is why the legislation took so long, Claire, because we didn't want to impact on the catering industry, because it has got legitimate uses. So our bill, what we will do is it will make them become a licensed seller and licensed importer of nitrous oxide. They will have 3 months in after the bill is introduced and has made law to apply for a license. It's not a cumbersome thing to apply for a license, so it shouldn't have an impact on their business.
Well, we'll keep an eye on how it goes and where it goes. Sinn Féin TD Mark Ward and earlier Nikki Killeen from the HSE.